78 National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Erin Archer. The federal government has announced a near $2 billion boost for local infrastructure projects across Australia. The funding package is aimed at helping local councils who have felt the economic brunt of coronavirus restrictions make improvements on areas like roads, tunnels, street lighting and bike paths. Deputy Prime Minister Michael McCormack says local government investment supports communities all over Australia, including regional, rural, remote and metropolitan areas.
Local government, which of course is the first tier of government, the tier perhaps closest to community, the tier perhaps closest to people, and the tier that we believe when we directly fund, the money can hit the ground the quickest.
Mr. McCormack also assured the government won't be making the same mistakes as with the sports rort saga. The opposition has welcomed the cash splash to local communities. However, Labor leader Anthony Albanese criticised Mr. McCormack's language about climate change during the local infrastructure announcement.
I'd say to Michael McCormack that he should reflect on those comments and retract them. And we need to be very careful about the language that we use. When it comes to climate change, it is real. We do need action.
The coronavirus pandemic has passed the 5 million mark of cases worldwide, but at home the curve has been flattened to the extent that more restrictions are continuing to ease. Cafes, restaurants and pubs are beginning to open back up, and next week much of the nation's schools will return to face-to-face learning, but many states are keeping their borders closed. Deputy Chief Medical Officer Professor Michael Kidd told the ABC border decisions remain up to each jurisdiction.
The decisions being made in each state and territory are based on the epidemiology that's occurring in each jurisdiction, and so we're leaving that decision to the premiers.
Three men have been arrested in Sydney and another in Melbourne over their alleged involvement in a $1.5 million MDMA supply syndicate. The men, aged between 24 and 40, were arrested at different locations in Sydney yesterday, while a 36-year-old man was arrested at a South Yarra unit in Melbourne. Police also seized MDMA pills and powder, LSD tabs and $20,000 worth of cash from a Bondi Junction unit. It comes amid an increase in patrols around an inner Melbourne suburb have led to police making more than 200 arrests for drug trafficking in less than a year. Officers on foot, bike and car patrols have stepped up their watch over Richmond and surrounding areas to tackle the distribution of illicit substances in a suburb notorious for drug problems. And in sport, Queensland Reds trio Isaac Rodder, Harry Hockings and Isaac Lucas have sensationally ended their standoff with Rugby Australia by terminating their contracts. The group had refused to take pay cuts of an average of 60% that their Australian Super Rugby counterparts accepted, prompting the Reds to stand them down ahead of Monday's return to training. The players' agent, Anthony Piccone, argued the Reds had no legal grounds to do so, and says the players will seek to end their contracts on that basis.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5. Brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker.
Good afternoon. It's currently 15.4 degrees at our studios and it's going to be a low of 9 degrees overnight, and it's a cold one. And we've got snow in the mountains, severe weather warnings across Sydney and the Illawarra, gale warnings for the coast, and it is going to be a wild and windy old day. And the forecast is cloudy, high chance of showers, mainly near the coast, and those winds are getting up to 55 kilometres an hour from the southwest. Looking for the weekend, Saturday, possible shower again, 9 to 17. Sunday, possible showers, 10 to 17. And back to work week Monday, a possible shower with 10 to 17 again and lots of rain forecast.
The updated traffic brought to you by Fernwood Gym of Seven Hills and North Rocks on Alive 90.5.
Moralia, McClimate's Road at Cat Eye Creek. The usual flooding there, you probably know it well. The roads close in both directions. Do not drive through the floodwater, and if you're local, you would well know the alternate route. At Liverpool, Hoxworth Park Road, approaching Flowerdale Road, a truck breakdown, heavy traffic conditions, 103 eastbound lanes closed. That's lane one. There's nothing else we've got at the moment, so let's get on with the show. It's 5 minutes past 12. You're on a live 90.5 Business Insights with
yes,
Mario.
Yes, 5 till 5. And Friday. It's thank God it's a Friday. And I thank you everybody for joining us today on the studio on a live 90.5. And Darren and I, we're looking forward to not just entertain you, just inform you, empower you, but I would like to share with you special guest today with us in the studio, Darren.
Well, we're going to warm everyone up on this cold day.
Yeah, did you just snowing in the mountains? That's mean it's going to be skiing season soon, you know?
I think it might be snowing here in the studio soon if we don't warm it up.
Yeah, well, our guest is in the short sleeves, so like I don't know what that means, but I'm not stuck it into the the jumper, so yeah.
Do you have some words for us first this morning?
Yes, I would like to.
Afternoon, I should say.
Yeah, I would like to say this one. I'd like to say good afternoon to all listeners and thank you. Thank you for tuning today in another episode of the Business Insights. So I would like to share with you that we are today hosting special guests. Now, before I continue, needless to say, big thanks to all supporters, listeners, and as well big thanks to sponsors of Live 90.5. Saying that, the best community radio station in Australia, and all of that because of you. You, dear listeners and sponsors, making this station great. As I was saying on another note, truly thankful for having today in the studio amazing producer and mentor who makes my show sound good, Darren Cape Davis. Did I say properly this? Yes, I
think so. That's it. Wonderful.
And before I introduce our guest on today's show, I would like to share a few words with all of you. This is not my words, but for the moment, I'd like you all hear the quote and take deep breath and think. And the quote goes like this. It's an introduction. You could be good today, but instead you choose tomorrow. And those famous quotes he wrote, Marcus Aurelius, the father of Stoicism. And the reason why I'm saying this, you could be good today, but instead you choose tomorrow. It's very simple. The question I do have for all of you, including me, why do we choose tomorrow instead today? Why do we choose? Personally, I know very well why I'm choosing New Year resolution rather than starting today. It's my downfall. I was for many years believing that New Year resolution is better than, you know, starting today. Starting dieting, exercising, or writing books. I done all of them, lame excuses by thinking there is always tomorrow to start. However, but what if tomorrow never comes? What then? That's the question you need to ask yourself. Why are you choosing tomorrow instead of today? Who needs to motivate us, inspire? Why? How? So many questions on that topic. And that topic we're going to elaborate and discuss in our studio. Yes, certainly, there is many videos and books, social media gurus, business coaches, leaders, life coaches. No question asked. Sure, they all can change our mind for the moment. Moment is not enough if you don't have person in front of you who done all hard yards. Pain, suffering, rejection, but persistence in desire and key objective for reaching goals. That's the today topic. I know that feeling, being abandoned by my own parents when I was 14 years old, kicked out from very warm house on Christmas Eve. Yes, it did happen. I survived. I know feeling when you start business and those who are closest to you, instead of supporting you, they're ridiculing you, making fun. But yet you push through life and you choose today, not tomorrow, to reach your goals and key objectives. In times like this crisis, COVID-19, I'm glad that we at Alive 90.5 can present you guests who are unsung business heroes who empowers you, inspires you. It is true privilege and honor to present your guest today. He done it all from misery of pain and paralysis. He pushed, worked hard so he can deliver to all of your experience, which will share with all of us and certainly inspire. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Live 90.5 FM Business Insights with Mario, I present you today guest, David Lindsay.
Good afternoon, David. How are you?
I'm fantastic, and thank you very much for having me on here. I'm so pumped up. I'm excited with COVID starting to release the restrictions a little bit, being able to come in and spend the time in the studio with you guys, it's just great to be out and about.
You should say first, Mark, that was an awesome introduction. Eh?
Oh, it was sensational. That was brilliant. I've got little heart flutters just thinking about it.
I must say, I'm all warmed up now.
Yeah, you are. You're like, yes. Take the jumpers off.
I just
off
need by. Your words. Yes, the jacket's coming off.
I like to say all our listeners that thanks to Darren Davis, Capes Davis, I am try to streamline and to be more professional this radio show, and by him doing some tricks of magic and how to improve the show, I come to a conclusion that I should say some things before introduce our guests a little bit better. So please forgive me if this introduction wasn't falling with you, all of you, the way I expected. Maybe you didn't expect it, but thanks, Darren, and thank our guest, David Lindsay. Enough about Mario. So, David, thank you for today coming our show. Darren and I were excited. You have the quite impressive resume. So what we're going to do now, Dave, we're going to grill him or we're going to take a short break to maybe people listen some music, and then we're going to let them to Google. Google David Lindsay.
Check it out.
Check it out, yeah. We'll take a short break and you're listening live 90.5 Businesses with Mario and Darren. And after the short break, we'll take it you to the questions and interview our guest, David Lindsay.
We don't need to know the way home. to tune in? Jump on the internet, stream live at www.alive905.com.au.
The Hills area has one of the most beautiful cemeteries in the Sydney region. Castlebrook Memorial Park at Rouse Hill provides the perfect resting place for your loved ones with manicured lawns and beautifully tended gardens. They cater for people from all backgrounds and you can talk to their family service advisors almost any day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Their website is castlebrook.com.au. Castlebrook Memorial Park is at Windsor Road, Rouse Hill, and is a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5.
Concise Finance is a nationally recognised mortgage broking firm with an integrated and holistic approach to financial services. We are built on the foundations of a tailored experience for each customer. With extensive experience in residential and investment property loans, we are the mortgage broking firm that will help you secure your financial freedom. The ethos at Concise Finance is to fully engage with clients to get it right the first time. If you're looking for your next property or to better your interest rates, call one of the team from Concise Finance on 1300 978 357. Station sponsor.
All the local news and all the great music.
On your sound, your community.
Alive 90.5.
It's 17 minutes past 12 on Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario. And we're warming you up this morning.
Oh, yes, we are. Yeah, I mean, we started with a 12. On 12.05, you said, what was the temperature? About 16
degrees.
Oh,
yeah, about 15 degrees. 15 degrees. But I think it feels more like 10 or something.
It does, you know, I mean, the snowing. But our guest is in short sleeves, which means he is pumped up to be, you know, interviewed by the Mario and the Darren on Alive 90.5 Business Insights feed. Mario, now we mention his name, David Lindsay. David, yet again, and one more time, thank you for coming today in the studio. I'm more confused than you are, so it's like, that's a tragedy. So David, who is David Lindsay? It's a famous question of this studio. PIN number, credit card, you can give us later, but first about okay. You, yeah, please.
Okay, so credit card's back in the pocket. Yes, well, growing up, I'm one of three kids. I'm the middle child. I suffered the middle child syndrome. My brother was always smarter. My sister always got everything brand new. I don't know. You know just how it is. Middle child neglected, we'll call it. But I grew up, I was always a small kid at school, but yet I got into sports when I was very young. My dad got me into soccer as a young kid. I was never talented. I wasn't the fastest, the strongest, but I always would work harder than anyone else.
So soccer was not your sport?
To start off with, it was, but then that was only because my dad's from England, so he actually called soccer football, but he didn't like it when I called it soccer.
Yeah, I know, because Australia, what do you think, Darren, about soccer in Australia? Sorry, football.
Well, it's interesting. Yes, I always thought that soccer and football was the difference, and until I did French. In year 7, French.
And okay, like I was hearing, that's a new one.
Joyeux football. I had to write down what it was, and I said, they're playing soccer. Yeah. And they're like, no, it's wrong.
Yeah, the wrong game.
The wrong game. So it's all about the language. Yeah. And I think it's important that sometimes the language that what you, think you about, share, what that
think
makes
about,
a difference.
What do you think about salaries in soccer? In European, you know, leagues and all this.
I think David would agree with that. We're not soccer players, so whatever money they get paid, we're not getting paid it, so I don't really care.
But this is the point, one reason I'm asking that, because like they're making like hundreds of millions of dollars or pounds or whatever, the currency, euros in Europe. And during this crisis, I didn't saw many of them to step it out to say like, listen, we're going to give the 5 million euros, you know what I mean, for the find a vaccine for the COVID-19 or something like this, which is very interesting. Yeah. And that's our guest is today here with us in the studio, who is rather than an unusual unsung business hero, but saying that you not successful in the soccer. What suburb did you grow up?
In the Sutherland Shire.
Where is this in Australia?
In Cronulla.
The Shire.
It's the Shire. So in Cronulla.
Cronulla
Shire. You obviously don't have a passport for the Shire.
Yeah.
Not across the bridge.
Till the 1st of June.
George's River. That's the border.
I know.
Town Point Bridge, Tom Ugly's Bridge.
That's the one, yeah.
Oh, I know Tom's Ugly Bridge, yeah. I tried to kiss one girl there, but she slapped me. So I remember that.
She's a Shire girl.
She's a Shire girl.
So David, what from the Shire has made you what you are today?
Well, it's really all my upbringing. I came from a little suburb, Ingadine in the Shire. And it's growing up with the people around you. We didn't grow up rich. we had to make do with what we had available to us. We were always outdoors. As I said, I was a little guy, so I had to really make up for that with training and determination in everything. So when I was a little bit older, when I started high school, I started playing rugby league. And being a little guy playing rugby league, it doesn't really work. Coming up against the big guys, you know, you have to have a screw loose in there. But I trained hard, and I went from being a little guy to still a little guy, but playing in the front row because I was tough.
Okay, but ask you a question. When you say little guy in school, like, let's go discuss this point. Did you experience bullying or ridiculing being in school because you were the smallest one? So all the guys or stronger guys, bigger guys picking on you?
They tried.
Okay, that's good. But the kid was small, yes?
Yeah, because I was small. So it did happen, especially in year seven. They tried, but then because I've really trained myself and I'm a determined kid, I'm competitive in everything I do. I wasn't going to let them see that what they were doing, whether it hurt or whether it didn't. I wasn't going to show that what I determine a form of weakness.
I respect that. Mm-hmm. You know why? You know, when I grew up, it was the same situation, but, you know, I was the smallest and the fattest, you know what I mean? So they'll be picked all the time.
Yeah.
And I know we're growing up in an environment in Australia, particularly with the bullying and all of this should be eradicated and government works and society works and this one. But sometimes you need to stood up for yourself.
Mm.
How did you decide to stood up for yourself? Did you say, like, you know, I'm dead, Lindsay, I'm gonna, you know, I mean, I'll not let nobody bully me? Or at that early age, what was going through your head to little David Lindsay to stood up for himself?
Well, it was just I don't like people standing over top of anyone, whether it's me or whether it's a friend. You know, you stand up for what you believe in. And even to this day, like, I've gone on, I've played football, arm wrestled, cage fighting, did the whole thing.
Okay.
I don't stand bullies. Because bullies really have a weakness to themselves. I don't
What
bully
is a weakness?
Them.
Tell us, what is a weakness? I'm asking for Darren. It's quiet, but that's for Darren. Well, so tell me.
Yeah, it's their head.
I want
their
your
mindset.
Opinion. I'm asking for myself. It's all like, what is the bully weakest point? Why the
it's
bullies
their mind.
Become mind? What do you mean by mind?
Because you never want to bully a bully either, because really you've never walked in their shoes.
Yeah.
So more often than not, if you dig a little deeper with them, you'll see that they get bullied at home, whether it's by their parents, by their older siblings.
Yeah.
So that's what they know. So they only
what
know.
What do you think, Darren, about this one?
Yeah,
what
I was going to say, yeah, the main thing about a bully, it's themselves.
The weakest.
Their mind.
That's right. And it's something that they don't understand themselves. But it is of themselves, of what they're doing. So I think, yeah, working with bullies, it's very interesting. So maybe more David could share how you've developed working with those sorts of people over time.
You see that in every sort of environment, and it doesn't happen when you leave school. The bullies don't stop. The bullies are there in every sort of situation.
That's so very correct. You have the workplace bullies as well.
Yeah.
On that topic, what do you think? Does a woman bullying the man?
It happens.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Without doubt.
Yeah, I've got examples from my career, but this show is not about me.
But it's like what I try to say, you know, if to all our listeners, with us in studios, David Lindsay and his story, he just, you know, started developing with us during the interview. And we're talking about bullying. So we don't promote the violence in schools on any shape or form. But David, if you have the one suggestion to anybody who's been bullied, what would you give the advice to any child who's been bullied? From your point, because you say you're the smallest one, the weakest one, but you entirely stood up for yourself. What would you give to any child if he's being bullied?
Yeah, there's a few things straight up.
Please.
You can't be scared.
Okay.
It doesn't happen in the open environment. So you'll see that, you know, they sort of catch you around the side. So you don't want to leave yourself vulnerable, but also you have to open up to people. Don't hold this in, because it's when you hold things like this in is when it really starts to fester.
Mm.
And as it festers, eventually going to go off like a firecracker, and no one wants that. It's definitely do not attack back, but don't show weakness, because like I said, I'm not about violence.
Yeah.
And people brought that up to me when I got into martial arts and cage fighting.
Yeah.
They go, you're not an angry sort of guy. You're not angry, dude.
You're not angry.
And I go, but it's not about anger. That's a sport.
Yeah.
So, and you have to realize the difference from street fight to sport. And I believe that training in football, in martial arts, even in arm wrestling, is about building up your strength both externally and also internally, giving you the tools that you can really use through.
Well, that's very interesting. David, thank you so much for these insights on the bullying and the giving tips to young ones or even adult ones. Darren, now we'll take a short break and we'll come back after the, some music and some commercials. You're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario, David, Lindsay with us in studio. Thank you.
Infinity Dental.
After a chat with me, a man who hadn't been to the dentist in ages finally has the courage to come and see me. We kept a couple of his top teeth, replaced broken fillings on his lower teeth, and gave him a more comfortable teeth. He was a new man. He said it was a pleasure to go to the dentist and it's the best thing that's happened to him.
Would you like the best in dental care? Call Dr. Jack on 9838 9111 or pop in at Shop 20A Winston Hill Shopping Centre, 180 Caroline Chisholm Drive, Whiston Hills, 2153. Or go online, infinitydentalcare.com.au. Station sponsor.
Hi, Alan Barnes from Dural Pool Shop. With the swim season nearly here, I'd like to stress the importance of proper maintenance and care to maximise your enjoyment. Our expert pool technicians can help you make sure of the right pool quality, cleaning methods and equipment, filter maintenance, cost-effective pool chemicals and more. See full details on our website at duralpoolshop.com.au, or better still, drop in and see me and the gang at Shop 2, 270 New Line Road, Dural. We'll help you to get your pool just how you want it.
Dural Pool Shop, station sponsor.
Alive 90.5, all the way from the 70s, 80s, 90s and today.
It's 29 minutes to 1 on Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario.
Well, thank you, Darren. Thank you to our guest there, Lindsay, with us in studio, who, before we took it a little break, we spoke about bowling being the smallest and being the weakest. However, David, he found a way to stood up for himself and shared little tips for the everybody who's been bullied. And David, thank you very much for this. But David, continuing your career, you were saying that you ended your football career somehow.
Yeah.
What was that for? Like, you have enough of the football, or what was happening?
It was just in growing up in the Shire. you can't go past the Shire.
Look, you will make me now to Google it. You know,
you'll have to check it out. Like, you'll have to check it out for yes. Sure. I don't know if they'll allow you over the bridge, but you can check it out online anyway.
Well, okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to distract, but our PM is from the Shire.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he is.
Okay. That says everything.
Well, yeah. I'll wait for that. I'll wait for that
way,
one.
Yes. But back to exactly. You, David.
Yeah. So growing up in the Shire, it was soccer wasn't really big. It wasn't popular. It wasn't for the cool kids. And then when I went to high school, my mum finally allowed me to play football, because she never wanted me to play rugby league football. She never wanted me to play because, well, my dad was from England. And
so soccer to football, that's what transition was, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and then I went across there, and I'm stubborn, I'm determined, I didn't take a backward step playing football. And within the first year I was on the wing, I went straight into the A's. And again, kids didn't really like it because I came from nowhere and took their position in the A's. And from there, I sort of built a reputation, and that helped me a lot in school as well. So I used to be quite a shy kid, but I used to let my sport do the talking. I'd go out there and I'd lead the tackle count. I'd score a couple of tries, and I was really quite good in football. And that as well stood me in a really good position with the bullies, because they knew that if what I could do on the football field,
yeah,
I could bring that to the schoolyard.
Yeah. So it's like a good deterrent.
Yeah, oh, it's the best. Okay. Or the second best. The best was when one of the big bullies from school, he went and, like, he did a big king crack, so a punch in the top of the head,
yeah,
and I didn't react at all. The best part of that was, one, I didn't react, but two, the reaction that he got from the people around. And the people that were around, it became almost like a myth after that.
Ah, uh-huh, interesting. Yeah. Mm. So you have that knee surgery after that one. So how did this happen?
When I was 17, it was in the finals when I was playing for South Sydney in the SG ball in the under 17s. I was running forward. I used to play hooker because by that stage I'd beefed up a lot. And I was running with the ball, and I got tackled, and a bloke took a dive at my knee, and it bent backwards and in, and straight away I knew that it was gone. I heard the pops in my knee. And as a 17-year-old, you lose so much. So straight away, I went in and had a knee reconstruction, which put me out of action for about 6 months. But
6 months? That's a long time, yeah.
6 months, yeah.
But you said you have a two knee reconstruction.
Yeah, that was my first one.
And okay.
So there's so many different ways you can look at things. And I like taking a lot of my examples from sport and taking it to business. You can look at having a knee reconstruction as, man, the business has gone down, what am I going to do? Or you can look at it, go, okay, the business is down at the moment, I can work on another element. At that point, my knee was down, my lower body was out. So what I did was I worked on my upper body, and I got incredibly strong, and I put on a lot of weight in my upper body. So there's so many different ways you can look at it to come out better.
Have you been afraid 17 years old you will not walk again? Did you have any consideration in your head, like, it's like, I don't want to go ever again on a field?
Never.
Why? Why not?
Because that's just not who I am. I'm out there. I'm going to do my best until the day they put dirt on me.
Okay.
In everything I do. I'm a competitive guy. And it's like my grandpa was talking to me. He was a wrestler as well. But he was talking to me not that long before he actually passed away. And he goes, David, it's you never feel your age. He goes, even now I feel like I can get out there and be with the young guys.
That's very interesting. So why Darren, why would the people, you know, I mean, you know, I have the personal experiences, like not me by myself, but people around me, they are good talkers, right? But if something happened, you know, in a physical way, particularly like, you know, pain or something like this, life is over. Did you ever experience something like this around yourself, that people actually, they talk a lot, but then, you know what I mean, when it happens something to them, as I said, even to twist the arm, you know what I mean, it's hurtful, you know what I mean, but they stop living their life?
Well, I think the most important thing when you're thinking that life is over, to listen to people to tell you that it's not. And I have been to something like that about 5 years ago, a bit of depression, and worked it out and got through it. But when you're in that state, you think no one knows anything, and it's all you, because you know it all. Everything is crap, and you just want to say it's over. So I think the best advice to anyone, if they're in that sort of position, is to listen to others, find a good mentor, and actually make sure you take that medicine of that information that others who are more stable in that time have for you, and then take that to the next level for your recovery.
In 2009, I was made redundant. GFC was happened. And, you know, I wasn't expecting it's going to be made redundant. You know, I come with the Monday morning with the coffee, and, you know, they call me, CEO calls me, say, this is your envelope, thank you very much. And I was like, you know, I was crying. Anyway, I was truly believing my life was all right, marriage and everything, you know, every aspect of my life was just crumbling and rushing. Somehow I found a book. I need to name that book. It's called You Can Do It, Paul Harness, Aussie guy, right? And he says something very interesting. That was what captured my imagination, my attention. He said, misery loves company. So what is, why are you laughing? Well, you know something about this? Well, the point he was trying to say, what, you okay?
sorry, my headphone just popped out with all
should
that.
Should you repeat that again?
Surprise,
like, so what I say, when misery loves company, when you feel down, you somehow attract people who are even in worse position than you are, and they come to comfort you, and actually they curing themselves, you know, I mean, to that process. Yeah. Do you agree with that, David?
Unfortunately, it's a true thing. But
I mean, look, I just read it, but it's like, yeah. I never analyzed after that, because, you know, I come from that hurdle a few times, up and down, but I was like, okay, I'll not talk to people around me about my problems anymore, because, like, you know, I can see that every that person comes to me, try to help me, it actually brings me more down. So, like, please.
Yeah, and you see it happen all the time. It happens everywhere. But it's about the people that you surround yourself with as well. Because I've been lucky enough to, through my sporting world, surround myself with some great guys. And there's one guy in particular, like my wrestling coach, where he's just always there. He's a rock solid base. But no matter what you're going through, like with my knee reconstruction, life goes on. So you can't sit around and think about, have that poor me mentality.
Yeah.
Which especially at the moment, so many people have, that they're just in their own head where they're talking about,
but why? Tell me why. You said something personal, you have that as well, downfall. What did you done differently? Did you go, okay, you didn't come to me, I know that, because you know me, otherwise I will say, I don't, no humble and glazed.
So you're asking
how did you come out of this, one? Did you have the somebody close to you who says, like, listen, you can do it, or did you go, or did you suffer inside, and what was the method you applied?
I think I had people close to me who understood me and just wanted to listen and didn't want to tell me what to do. I think it's the worst thing you can do to someone like that, to say, you've got to do this, you've got to get out of it, you got, and they're going to go,
definitely,
no, you've got no idea. And so I think you really just need to listen to those sorts of people and say, okay, say if it was a David, so with your knee, that means you can't do football, but what else do you like doing? Do you like being on radio? Do you like coming and talking to Mario and Darren? And maybe you should go and do that, and that might help you get your next step of recovery.
Yeah.
And they're the sorts of things you can do.
It's all about adding another string to the bow.
Yeah,
it's just not sitting there and.
But why do people choose the suffering? Potty? That's a seller. That was my Marcus Aurelius. He said, "Choosing today, we choose tomorrow to be great." In short version, I'm seeing a lot of suffering. COVID-19 brought a lot of uncertainty to many people, and I can see, like, you know, people will project, you know, happiness and everything's okay. But, you know, when I know them, how they
used to be talking to me before the COVID-19 and talking to me now, I know they experienced some obstacles and everything else, but why did people choose, from your experience, what did you choose to be great today instead of suffering and staying there on the bottom when you have a second in the constructions?
Because why sit down? Why let people hold you down? And especially with what's going on at the moment with this COVID situation going on, because I manage a gym and that's been closed. So for the first week I was in that situation, I was feeling sorry for myself. I was very lucky to have my wife and my daughter there with me. And it's, you need that support around you. And you need people that have... No one's been in that situation before. We've been lucky enough to never been in a pandemic as this that's encompassed the entire globe. But it's surrounding yourself with the people that really to help you drive forward. Because you can sit there, you can, and go, why me, why me? But then why not you? What are you going to do to get out of it? Because I'm so much about, you can sit down and you can watch Netflix. You can sit down, you can eat all of the cake, the chocolate. You can drown your sorrows with drink. But where's that going to get you? That's not going to get you anywhere besides poorer and feeling terrible.
I think I'm surrounded with the two extremes. Darren, he sits on bike, drives the Tour de France per day, you know me, at least. I can guarantee you that one. How many kilometers per day you do?
Oh, not that many.
not that many, okay.
Not a Tour de France a day.
But that's all, you know, that's what I appreciate, you know what I mean, we're doing this one. But we'll take a short break and we'll continue after some music and commercial. David, thank you so, you know, very much for that honesty and bringing that empowerment to our listeners. And thank you, Darren, for sharing with us that he drives the bicycle 100 kilometers per day. That was my invention. You're listening to Live 90.5 Business is Mario, the sexiest voice in Sydney and the most best community radio station in Australia. Live 90.5.
I'm so consumed, spending all my nights reading texts from you. Oh, I'm good at keeping my distance. I know that you're the feeling I'm missing. You know that I hate to admit it, but everything means nothing if I can't have you. I can't write one song that's not about you. Can't drink without thinking about you. Is it too late to tell you that everything means nothing if I can't have you? I can't write one song that's not about you. Can't drink without thinking about you. Is it too late to tell you that everything means nothing if I can't have you? I'm so sorry that my timing's off, but I can't move on if we're still gonna talk. Is it wrong for me to not want half? I want all of you, all the strings attached. Oh, I'm good at keeping my distance. I know that you're the feeling I'm missing. You know that I hate to admit it, but everything means nothing if I can't have you. But I'll hold on. Everything means nothing. Everything means nothing, babe. I'm trying to move on. Forget you, but I'll hold on. Everything means nothing if I can't have you. No, I can't write one song that's not about you. Can't drink without thinking about you. Is it too late to tell you that everything means nothing if I
In the market to purchase your new home? Sick of attending open homes? Tired of being beaten at auction? It's time to put the buying experts to work for you. Hi, I'm Michael Savartis from Real Property Buyers, and our job is to take the hassle out of purchasing property. Our independent team will do the house hunting for you and make sure you buy the right property at the right price. So no matter whether it's your first home or your forever home, visit realpropertybuyers.com.au and let us take the stress out of purchasing your new home.
Real Property Buyers are proud sponsors of Alive 90.5.
Need an honest, reliable service centre for your car? Then contact United Service Centre Toongabby. They perform mechanical repairs on all types of vehicles and are specialists in top quality European cars too. And all work is at very affordable prices. You'll find them at 5 Picasso Crescent, Old Toongabby, next door to United Fuel on Fitzwilliam Road. Book your next vehicle service on 9631 1179. You'll be so impressed, you'll tell all your friends. United Service Centre Toongabby is a proud sponsor of The Morning Magazine with Happy Jack and Alive 90.5.
It's 13 minutes to 1 on Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario.
Darren, that was very, very hot. You know, I mean, the studio becomes very, very warm with David Lindsay with us in his studio. So, Darren, before I go back to our guest, David Lindsay, I have a question for you. Driving the bicycle like yourself, you know, like, look, first of all, I wanted to buy a bike, you know, 2 months ago, but then I saw it's all sold.
All gone,
so I'm going to save myself, you know, I mean, from the pain. Is it painful to drive a bicycle that distances as you do, like 50, 60 kilometers, whatever you do?
It's my meditation. So I love getting out there on the bicycle and just going hard up a hill and just making sure I just forget about anything else. And then in the warm down, that's when I can think about a lot of things, think about things that I might be doing, tinkering, opportunities.
Yeah.
If there's anything I really, sometimes it's kind of goes to what we talk about before about being low.
Yeah.
If I feel I'm angry at something, I've worked out a way in my mind. If I can't resolve it, I have to like reframe it in a window frame and chuck it out of my mind.
Mm.
And I do that when I ride.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I have to go along with that as well, because my place where if I have pent up aggression or I have situations where I can't control, because at the moment we can't control what's going on with the global pandemic. We can't control what's happening with work, but what we can control is you can control how you ride, and I can control how I use my body, and I've got some weights at home that I can control my training session. That's what it's all about, controlling what you can control and what you can't, just letting that go.
Interesting. Well, the reason I asked Darren, does he feel the pain when he drives a bicycle? Because next chapter talks about pain. Next chapter of your life talks about pain. So you've done the soccer, you've done the football, two knee reconstructions. But then for some reason, you went into the arm wrestling, which is your next calling.
Yeah.
And your life went into a tailspin, which resulted in arm paralysis for 4 months. Can you tell us why, how, or what did you experience, and what was your... you know, not dreams, but did you see yourself, you know, suffering on a long term, or did you say, like, I can do this, I'll not experience the pain? Give us that story. Now, that's very interesting.
100%. With that, when I got into arm wrestling, because I'd stopped playing football because of my second knee reconstruction, that put me out of action, but I was still quite big and I was still very strong. And I got into arm wrestling. I'd never heard of arm wrestling as a sport before. And I'd not knew of fighting, of full body wrestling, but then to get into arm wrestling. So I started doing that, and I was training to go in some professional arm wrestling tournaments over in America. And we timed it well, me with my arm wrestling coach, to be over to America. I went to Corfu for a mate's wedding, and me and my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, we were going on a round the world trip. So we're supposed to go to Corfu for a mate's wedding, go to Barbados to see my granny and my uncle, and then go from there to America to go in some arm wrestling tournaments. Unfortunately, when I was in Corfu, I was mucking around. Luckily, it was a day after the wedding, but I was there and I was arm wrestling, and it was actually a mate. And I got him down, and using poor technique. That's all it was. It was bad technique. I turned my body and then snap. And at first I thought, man, I've broken the bar because it sounded like a dry piece of wood snapping.
Wow.
And then I looked at my arm and went, shit. Yeah. It shouldn't be bent there. It was my elbow. I broke the humerus, the upper part of my arm.
Oh, I can see the scar right now. You're pointing to it.
Yeah, so I did a good job of it. I wasn't going to get operated on over in there, but I did spend a week in the Corfu hospital, which it's not a pleasant experience, but it's given me stories to use. Then I came back, and my doctor organized for me to get a plate put in my arm to stabilize the humerus. Unfortunately, what they did was when they were putting it in, they hit the radial nerve, which caused my arm to drop and paralyze. With that, I had no...
When you say paralyzed, what do you mean paralyzed?
Yeah, I couldn't use my arm. It was... I could make a fist, but I couldn't straighten my hand out. I couldn't straighten my fingers. So it was stretching through my tendons, but more than that, it messed me up mentally because no longer could I go to the gym. I was an athlete. I worked in a gym. I was a personal trainer. That's what I was, and I've really established that was my personality as well.
So I can see you're now actually using that arm quite well. So obviously you recovered. How did you recover from that, both mentally and physically?
Yeah, again, it comes back to me being competitive. When I went and got a nerve conduction study, so they put needles in the arm and they send electrical currents to go through to make sure that the nerves are still firing. They came back and said that, sorry, your arm's going to be paralyzed like that forever. Wow. I was in tears. I was heartbroken by it. But then about a couple of days later, I woke up and I went, I'm not going to let this beat me. I'm going to come out on top. I'm going to get use of my arm back. So eventually I put creams, I put everything I could onto it. I did whatever they said in order to get it coming back. And eventually it did come back. And
did you cry any moment? Be honest with me.
I did. I did 100%. I was in there and it was just after I broke my arm. Me and my girlfriend were sitting in the hospital bed and I was crying. And it wasn't from pain either. It was more from frustration because not only have I broken my arm, but I've ruined our holiday. This was our dream holiday. We were going to go on a round the world trip. This was our first stop and we had to come back to Australia. So it was painful, but my body went in shock. I didn't realize it, how bad it was at first. And then I started feeling the bone grate over top of it and I realized it was bad, but it was from frustration. And then when they said that my arm was paralyzed for months, or they said it was paralyzed, I was in tears. I was devastated. This time it wasn't tears of frustration. It was tears of devastation.
Why? Let me ask you, not related to this one. I'm very curious. You have the courage to admit you cried. Mm. You know what I mean? And I don't hear many people say that thing. And know, like, it's very hard in a man's world to show the emotions and, you know, being that, you know, you talk with the passion, like, look at your enthusiasm and everything else. But admitting, you know what I mean, there are 2 million listeners right now, or 3 million, whatever it is, on a line 90.5 FM, you're admitting you cried. You know, okay, this is not ordinary situation, Darren, you agree? I mean, paralyzed, you know, maybe the arm. But saying this publicly makes you bigger and stronger and more courageous. For myself, Mario Beckes, with the most of men I know, and I saw them during the, you know, my service in military, 15 years and war, you know, I mean, they will hide, you know, I mean, there's emotions, they will hide themselves and admitting they're being weak. You don't. Why not?
Because that's what we are. It's our emotions, and I'm not going to hide behind that. I'm big enough, I'm man enough, I'm strong enough, not just physically, but also mentally, to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
And it's also fine to ask for help. A lot of people, they really struggle asking for help, whether it's in business, whether it's in fitness, whether it's in mental health.
Yeah.
They're just too scared because of the stigma that they think is going to be attached with them. But then having progressed through that, like people go, I've spoken to them as well, when was the last time they cried? And they go, I can't remember. I can remember vividly, and it wasn't that long ago. It was the day they closed the gym.
Okay.
Which was just on the 23rd of May. The 23rd. And it was just, I got home and I felt useless.
Man, yeah, I just admire you. But before we take a break, and because the news is coming soon, I'd like to ask you, I'm asking for the friend, did your girlfriend, she's been upset because the holiday is being ruined and you be paralyzed, or did she help you to recover?
I can understand where she would have been so supportive.
Did she say, like, why did you go now into this and paralyze your arm? Or did she say, okay, darling, I understand.
First of all, it was, why? And then it was, okay.
Yes?
Very supportive. Yeah. Extremely supportive, because we can't change what's happened. No matter how much you want to do it, we can only do with what we're dealt with. And I've also helped her in that situation when our daughter was 6 months old. She got hit by a car on a motorbike and she shattered a femur. So she was in, she almost lost a leg, but... That's another story.
Darren, well, we'll take a break because this is very emotion charged interview with David Lindsay. I'd like to say thank you to all listeners, sponsors of Live 90.5, and thank you for listening, Business Insights with Mario. Darren and I will take a short break and we'll come back in second hour with our guest, David Lindsay, with his amazing story. You don't want to miss this.
Scared to rock the boat and make a mess, so I sat quietly, agreed politely. I guess that I forgot I had a choice. I let you push me past the breaking point. I stood for nothing, so I fell for everything. You held me down, but I got up, already brushing off the dust. You hear my voice, you hear that sound, like thunder gonna shake the ground. You held me down. Stripes. I went from zero to my own hero. You held me down, but I got up, already brushing off the dust. You hear my voice, you hear that sound, like thunder gonna shake the ground. You held me down, but I got up, get ready, 'cause I've had enough.
Fire, 'cause I am a champion, and you.
90.5.
And now on Alive 90.5, here's the latest news brought to you by PACE, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Shannon Kirkwood. Opposition leader Anthony Albanese